conference will be held next week in Basel, Switzerland, marking the 125th anniversary of the historic First Zionist Congress, held in the same city, which was the first international meeting of the Zionist movement. On August 28th and 29th, some 500 guests and international speakers will engage in an open discussion and think tank sessions, focusing on the challenges of the next decade and on how to strengthen the Zionist movement, the diaspora, and the State of Israel for a better and united Jewish nation and people. Among the invited participants is Joanna Landau, founder and CEO of Vibe Israel, who will take part in a panel entitled The Everyday Battle, Fighting the Disinformation. Landau spoke with us earlier about her efforts focused specifically on engaging the disconnected younger generation around Israel.
Well, I think that most of the engagement that's done around this topic is primarily sort of reactive to the fact that there is anti-Semitism, there is anti-Zionism, and what do we do about it? How do we respond to it? So it's more reactive than it is proactive, in the sense that trying to avoid having anti-Semitism or anti-Zionism altogether. It's not to say that it doesn't exist. It's just to say that there's not as much effort being put into that as opposed to dealing with those people who are already anti-Semitic or anti-Zionist. And the second thing is that there's a lot of the effort is direct rather than indirect, in the sense that organizations, government, so on and so forth, are going after those who are clearly not in favor of Israel, and they're trying to create a narrative that responds to it, rather than, or not in addition enough to, having an indirect approach, which means let's go to people who are not necessarily interested in this topic, don't really have a formed opinion, and let's try and build a relationship with them that is based on what Israel and the Jewish people can offer them and what value can we bring to them. Because I believe that if you create relationships, that is the first level in order to get people to want to actually eventually support you, advocate for you, and so on. The first basis is that they need to be aware of what you have to offer. And unfortunately, there's not enough of that. There's a tremendous amount of dealing with those who are already against us, but I'm focused more on the indirect and the proactive approach.
So what kinds of steps does that entail?
So for us, I founded Vibe Israel, which is a nonprofit organization. And the idea is that we're shaping and promoting Israel's global image in the world, especially amongst the next generation. So first thing is that understanding who do we actually want to get to, who are the ones that we feel we need to impact most, because they're the biggest cause of concern. And I would say that the people under the age of 40 who have very little memory of the Holocaust, who have perhaps less interest in what's going on in the Middle East than people who are older used to have, who don't remember how the Israeli-Palestinian conflict even started, those are the people that we are at risk of losing, even within our own tribe, amongst the Jews themselves. And so the first thing is to understand who are we talking to, and our focus is on the next generation. And the second thing is to use all sorts of tactics and strategies that actually come from a different methodology. It's not advocacy from our point of view. We don't do advocacy. It's not doing diplomacy. We're not representing the state of Israel. We're much more focused on branding and marketing Israel, if you will. It's almost like it's a product on a supermarket shelf. And why would someone choose it? Which means you have to focus on our strengths and what we can offer and what is interesting to the audiences that we're trying to connect to.
Now, do you have a methodology? Do you have numbers, research, or studies that can kind of fill out some of these findings or this snapshot that you've given us of the situation?
Absolutely. We're a very data-driven organization. I think if you you're not using data, it's like you're driving with your eyes shut. Right? So we've been sort of conducting global research about how young people who don't actually necessarily have an opinion about Israel, they're unaffiliated, whether it's Jewish or non-Jewish, not the ones who are fighting the fight on campuses, but everybody else. We've been doing this since 2018 using global companies, and the most recent research that we did was particularly interesting. In the last year or two, I think even longer, we're deeply concerned about what's going on campuses. Everybody is tremendously concerned about minorities in the United States, for example, the African-American community, the Hispanics, who seem to be more drawn to the anti-Israel narrative than probably other people. This is the impression that we have in the community. And I wanted to sort of challenge that foundational belief, because it's pretty much defining how we're all behaving. Because from my experience of bringing digital influences to Israel over a decade through Vibe Israel, we've only seen positive views of Israel. And so it kind of didn't make sense to me that everybody, every African-American on campus is against Israel by definition. I wanted to check that. And so in March this year, we did a survey amongst almost 1,000 college students in cities which are particularly relevant for minorities, who are also progressives, define themselves politically as progressives. These are the ones that the community is worried about the most. So we took Miami, we took San Francisco, we took Chicago, and we did this research, and we asked them very simple questions about Israel. Would you go visit? Would you buy an Israeli product? What is your general perception of Israel? Things like that. And then for 3 weeks, we did a Instagram and Facebook campaign with some content that we had from 2 years ago when we were doing trips until COVID stopped us, and now we're rebuilding the program. And we had a lot of video content, which was about vegan food and dogs in Tel Aviv and travel opportunities in Israel. And we turned those into short videos, which we then pushed online into the social media feeds of this age group and this particular demographic in these cities for about 3 weeks. We invested $30,000 in that, and we got 3 million hits, which means that it's got a good bang for our buck. And then 3 weeks later, we repeated the survey because we wanted to see whether this short and quick action of bringing positive content to people can shift their perception. And what we found was very, very surprising. I was not sure that my theory that actually there's most people really don't care, and if you provide them with great content about Israel, then they'll be willing and interested in engaging. Even I was surprised by the results. The starting point was much better than I thought. Around 50% of them were that when asked what their perceptions of Israel are, they were either positive or very positive. And we're talking about African-American college age progressives, African-Americans and Hispanics. 40% of them were sort of neither here nor there in terms of their perception, and 9% of them were negative and very negative. So 9% is really what's dictating most of the community's behavior, and we've always thought that's kind of off in terms of defining a strategy, and this confirmed it. And then when we did the 3 weeks worth of sort of content, which was really uplifting and fun and exciting and interesting, about Israel to this demographic, and we did the survey again, we found that we went up from 50% positive to 70%+ positive. From 40% indifferent, we were down to 20% indifferent. And from 9% negative, we were down to 4% negative. So we can see that this kind of activity, which is completely complementary to all the efforts that are being put into going against the negative statements being made about Israel, is just as effective at building the very, very basis of what we need in order to have a next generation that cares for Israel, wants to support it, wants to advocate for it.
So is social media the most effective platform when you're trying to build Israel's image and create positive response to it?
So I would say yes and no. So yes, because social media is where the next generation is. If you're not playing there, then you're not there. Like, it's as if when radio came on or when television came into our lives, advertisers remained in print, and they didn't adapt themselves. So today, social media is where everybody is. You have to be there if you want to connect to the next generation. And it's incredible, and it's a wonderful tool. And yes, I do feel that working on social media with positive engagement about Israel is the fastest and most effective way to reconnect the next generation with Israel. However, it is the least effective platform when you're trying to go against the negative narrative about Israel. And the reason is, there's a multitude of reasons. We have a whole e-learning course about that that's free, and you know, anybody's interested can do it. But the bottom line is, nobody goes onto social media to be told that they're wrong. This is not a platform for engagement in a deep conversation. And a conversation about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, it requires a deeper level of analysis. It requires knowledge and understanding and a desire to have a conversation. And what we're doing right now is that we're sort of arguing with people who there is no way that we will convince them. But conversely, there's no way they will convince us as well. So we have to recognize that. I'm not saying we don't need to do sort of advocacy online. I think it's very important. There are methodologies of doing that. There are organizations that do it. But I don't think that it should be 90% of the work that we do. We're missing out on a really, really big piece, which is, what's the positive content that kids see when they're scrolling on their feeds every day? And they scroll the height of the Statue of Liberty on their feeds every single day. So where's Israel when it comes up?
So the alternative then, when you're talking about negative images, face-to-face encounters in some form?
Well, it doesn't have to be face-to-face. I think we have to recognize, especially post-COVID, that there has to be an enormous amount of digital assets, online digital data, online that promotes the country. And by the way, we use a methodology called country branding, which is an industry that has developed in the last 20 years that looks at countries just like commercial brands look at their brands. And any commercial brand creates digital content so that it can be shared onward. And today, countries do that as well on a really strategic level. And so we believe that there has to be a lot of digital content out there. Of course, the face-to-face experience is the best there is. And so that's why our tours combine the two sort of best options, which is an offline experience that has an online sharing and distribution platform through the influencers that we bring. But I don't think that it replaces the negative conversation. There are those who want to have a conversation about the conflict. With people like that, we're not going to be bringing, you know, cherry tomatoes or dogs in Tel Aviv, because that's not the conversation that they want to have. People like that need to have a serious conversation, and for that you have advocacy organizations that do good work online as well. But most of the people are not that, and they want to have something else, and there is a huge void of positive digital content about Israel online.
And what about engagement of the younger Jewish generation? Are you seeing a slide, and does that require a different kind of approach?
So it's interesting, you know, I've been doing this for almost 15 years. There's definitely a concern. We can see that we're sort of hemorrhaging young people who are becoming very drawn into the negative narrative about Israel that is revolving around human rights and aspects like that, which is, you know, if you look at it very objectively, you can understand where they're coming from. It is complex. However, at the same time, you have incredibly successful efforts like Birthright and like Honeymoon Israel and Momentum and projects that are aimed at showcasing Israel's values and positive aspects to Jewish young kids. And those projects are strong and successful. And so long as they continue, there's now Route One, which is looking at teenagers, they will continue to bear fruit. But the a Jewish millennial and a Jewish Gen Z is first and foremost a millennial or a Gen Z. They are products of the era that they were born into. They're not Jewish first and then their age first. If you want to deal with them, this is not a philosophical question. This is a very simple question about communication and influence. If you want to be able to influence young people, you have to know how they think, you have to know what their value system are, and you have to recognize what platforms they're on and how they're engaging on them. Jews are just like non-Jews. Gen Z is going to be on a particular platform, probably TikTok, probably Snapchat, probably Instagram, less likely to be on Facebook, LinkedIn, so on. You want to be able to focus your effort there. Millennials, which means up to the age of about 40, probably they're also on those platforms and on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, so on. So you need to kind of know where you're at and engage them I believe that the solution is to put aside that they're Jewish and ask yourself, why should they care about Israel in the first place? And once you do that, you remove the emotional desire to get immediate results from them and this emotional expectation of somebody who just did birthright to be forever indebted to Israel and now become a full-on Israel advocate. And you realize that the only way this is going to work is if you are a gift that keeps on giving, just like a commercial brand. A commercial brand will not expect a customer to continue buying from it if it doesn't continue offering it value. If we see it in that way and we remove ourselves from the emotional desires that we have because we're very emotional about this, then I think that Israel will do a tremendous job because it's an incredible, uplifting, inspiring product that may have its shortcomings, but we definitely have a wonderful story to tell, and that's what this conference is really going to be telling.
Joanna Landau, founder and CEO of Vibe Israel.